You are listening to the always exciting Victory Church podcast, a daily source of inspiration, encouragement, and accelerated spiritual growth. We're here to help you maximize your life in minimal time. So get ready and let's dive into today's message.
All right. Let's get in it today. Look at your neighbor and tell them you need to deal with it. Now, don't leave out your other neighbor. We are equal opportunity offenders here, so I want you to tell them, too. You need to deal with it. The reality is we've all got stuff in our life that you're never going to conquer unless you confront it. We're here to help you do that. We want to help you overcome the things that are holding you back, the things that are so easy for all of us to ignore. All right, so here we go. Today, we're going to talk about offense, and I know there's nobody here that's ever been offended by anybody else, but because I have been regularly, I want to share my story. No. Y'all have been offended. Can all the real folk just wave at me if you've been offended? Some of y'all got offended on the way here this morning. I mean, we get offended at what people say, we get offended at what people don't say, we get offended at what they do or what they insinuate, we get offended at what people say on our social media, we get offended at the things we see. Sometimes people get offended in church. We're going to talk about that in a minute, how sometimes God's word is offensive to people. That's why Jesus walked around and kept saying, hey, you got to have ears to hear what I'm saying to you. Hello? And so that's where we want to be today. We want to have ears that are willing to receive what God's word says. Let's pray. Father, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your word. We know that it is the most powerful thing we will ever handle. And as we approach it today, I thank you that it's alive, and I pray that it releases your life in us. I pray, God, that strongholds in our minds, entrenched ways of thinking that Satan has erected for year after year, decision after decision, we command them to come down today. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would have complete freedom to do what only you can do. God, change us from the inside out. God, bring us to life with your resurrection power. If there be anybody here today that doesn't yet know your son as their savior, I pray that they would call on Jesus before we walk out of here today. God, we just give you praise that we're going to get over offense today. It's no longer going to have a place in our life, and we're going to have the ability to identify offense before it ever even has a hold on us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, come on, would you give God praise on credit for what you believe he's about to do? He's good for it. Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus gives us a reality check. It says, then he said to the disciples, are there any disciples in the room today? All right. He says, then he said to the disciples, somebody say, that's me. It's impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. He tells us that offense is coming your way. The devil's going to make sure of that. The devil is going to make sure somebody does or says something stupid to tick you off. Y'all know there are some stupid people in the world. Like, I never heard a preacher say that. Come on, somebody give God praise for all the stupid people in the world. Now watch this. I've been one of them. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I have been too. See, I gave you the opportunity to offend them. You could have said, you have been too. We've all done stupid things, right? We've all been offended. We've all been offensive. Fair enough. We're going to get into some of that this morning. Jesus said offense is coming your way, that it happens. He said it's ridiculous for us to think or even imagine that we could go through our life without the opportunity to get offended. And it happens to all of us. And so Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, he chooses a word. When he uses the word offenses, he intentionally chooses a word that his listeners would have immediately had a picture in their mind, okay? So, for example, if I say the word apple, well, what just popped up in your mind besides a fruit? What color apple showed up? Red? Any green apples in the room? It's always the red apples that win, okay? Two or three green ones, but you had a picture, an image. Same thing. When Jesus said this word offenses, immediately a word popped up inside the imagination of those who were listening to him. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. What language was the New Testament written in? Greek. Thank you. Y'all are so smart this morning. And the Greek word for offenses is the word scandalon. Scandalon. It's where we get the word scandal or scandalous. So when we get offended, Satan is dragging us into a scandal. Somebody say it's scandalous. And a scandalon was a small piece of wood that was used to prop open the door to an animal trap. It was a bait stick, literally. It was a piece of wood that would prop the door up, and inside there would be bait to lure that animal to come in that enclosure. And as the animal entered in and brushed against that scandalon or that bait stick, what would happen is they would hit it, and the door would slam shut behind them, trapping that animal inside of that cage with no way of escaping. And so it is a word picture for us that when you get ticked, if you're not careful, you're going to end up trapped. Satan has set a trap for you, and this opportunity is going to be there often. And the more often you take it, the more bondage you're going to experience in your life, because Satan tries to draw us in. He lures us. He baits us into the trap of offense. And what happens is when we take the bait, the door slams shut behind us. And all of a sudden, we're trapped in bitterness. We're trapped in anger. We're trapped in upset. You know, when somebody offends you, it ruins your day, right? I mean, your mind is now consumed by it. It's bothering you. You got this anxiety on the inside of you that every single time you see this person now, there's just this thing going on inside of you toward them, like this resistance. And here's what's important, y'all. I've got to learn how to be my best even when I'm around the people who bring out my worst. Because let me be honest with you, it's only been in the last few years that God's helped me to deal with this in my life, because I used to run off the cliff every time, fly off at the mouth, fly off the handle. Somebody would tick me off. The devil knew what buttons to hit, and man, I would hit the roof. I would go from hero to zero like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, don't look at me with your halo so crooked on your horns this morning. Hello? Any real folk in the house say, yeah, that's me. I don't. Sometimes I run into this stuff and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that. And I finally got into that place where I let the opportunity go by. Somebody say, let it go. I'm going to look at your neighbor and tell them, just let it go. But the reality is, when you take that opportunity to get ticked off, you get pinned in, you get trapped. And what happens is, when we break the word offend down, it's really two words. It's off end. The devil wants you to get your eyes off of Jesus, off of his word. A distraction off of your kingdom assignment. Because remember, at Victory Church, we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. We're making disciples who go and make a difference. The true depth of Christianity is not the accumulation of knowledge so you can look like you know it all to somebody else. True depth in Christianity is the ability to live what you've learned and then help somebody else experience the same success God has given on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make a difference in our world for Jesus and to equip you to be your best every single day where you live, work, and play. But the devil wants to get your eyes off of that so that he can end God's power in your life. He wants to cut you off from your kingdom purpose. He wants to cut you off from enjoying the presence of God and the promises of God. He wants to keep you offended at that person next to you this morning, or that person sitting on the other side of you in church this morning, or offended at your spouse on your way in today, or ticked off at your children or your crazy sister-in-law or whatever it might be. He wants to keep you upset and offended at work. He wants to keep you ticked off at Pastor Marcia because she didn't wave at you at Walmart whenever you saw her. And what y'all don't know is she's got two kids who are talking her ear off, and she is doing her best to shoplift without getting caught. Totally kidding if you're visiting today. My wife is not a klepto, at least that I know of. But offense is this device that Satan uses to limit you and to keep you from fulfilling what God created you to do and to prevent you from fulfilling and enjoying the wonderful things God has in store for every single one of us. You say, my life is stunk to this point. Well, listen to me. The Bible says if you love God, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and nor has entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that God has already prepared for those who love him. Anybody in the house love God today? Come on, somebody. That's why I prophesy to your future already. The rest of your life is going to be the best of your life, because there's things ahead of you that you can't even imagine. You can't use what God's even done in your past to predict what he's going to do in the future, because it's bigger and it's better and it's more amazing, and you got to believe it to receive it. And when you start expecting it, you start experiencing it. Come on, somebody. I believe hope is coming up inside of your heart today, that tomorrow, no matter how bad today is going to be better because God's word says it. Not because I feel like it, not because people are changing the way they treat me, but because I stand in faith on God's word. And so the longer I stand in faith on God's word, the more time he has to begin changing the situation in the natural around me. And that's why I build my life on what the book says. We walk by faith, amen, not by our feelings. And so that's been one of the biggest challenges that we have, is that I've got to learn to be my best when I'm around people who bring out my worst. Because what we tend to do is, when we're around people who have ticked us off, all of a sudden we're like the clam. We shut down, don't we? We stop acting our best. We stop showing our best. And so what you got to do is you got to make up your mind that every time I see that person, I'm going to go with a zero history policy. I'm going to act like it's the first time I've ever met them in my life. Some of y'all got some history with some people in your life right now. Some of y'all are carrying some heavy offenses in your life right now. What if the next person you saw, next time you saw that person, you treated them as if nothing had ever happened in the past? That's fun. It's awful quiet in this monastery this morning. They're like, I don't want to do this. I'm not doing this. Offend. Offense keeps us shallow. Jesus told a parable of a farmer who went out and sowed seed. And one of the types of soil that the seed of his word fell on was this rocky soil. And the Bible says that offense makes us shallow, that it prevents us from sinking down roots so that we can bear fruit, so that we can remain. God doesn't want you to start. He wants you to finish. There's a difference. God wants you to be deep, not shallow. But I think we've confused what true depth is in Christianity. I hear people talking about going deep spiritually, and for years and years I've watched it, and I just kind of watch things, and I've come to the conclusion that true depth is just the application of God's word in your life on a daily basis. It is the ability to live what you've learned, and then if you really want to go deep, help somebody else experience the same success you have through the same principles God's taught you. That's what it's really all about. It's about God making us into a disciple so that we can go and make somebody else into a follower of Jesus Christ too. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus went back to his hometown in Matthew. And the Bible says as he went back to Nazareth, there was something that happened in chapter 13. It says that all the people there who knew him were deeply offended. They got offended at Jesus, and they refused to believe in him. There's a lot of people like that. A religious spirit says that. Yeah, I want to know God, but I get offended at some of the things the Bible has to say, and I pick and choose through what I do want and what I don't want. They were deeply offended at Jesus, and they refused to believe in him. Verse 58, watch this. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. There's a connection between being offended and unbelief in your life. And what happens is, when we live offended, we limit the power of God from flowing in us and to us and through us to reach the world around us. And I don't know about y'all, but I need the power of God in my life. We need the power of God in our generation. We refuse at Victory Church to have a form of godliness but deny its power. The greatest proof that God is moving among us is that people's hearts and lives are being transformed, not because they have to, not so they don't go to hell, but because they want to, because they're so in love with Jesus and they're so inspired by what he did for them at the cross that they're willing to lay down their life and say, God, I'll change what I need to change. I'll do what I need to do. I'll obey what you ask me to obey. You bought my life, I give it to you, and whatever you ask, your word is my command. That's what it means to declare Jesus is Lord of my life. Come on, somebody. If there's no transformation, there wasn't no salvation. The gospel makes us better and brand new people. Amen? And so it's critical that we grab hold of this and not cut ourselves off from the miracle-working power of God. Our generation needs to experience God firsthand. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says that in prayer there is a connection between what God does and what you do. In other words, God plays a part and you got to play a part. It's not all God and it's not all on you. It says you can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. Well, if somebody's offended you, the first thing you need to do is you need to get it out and you need to forgive them. But the Bible says in verse 15, if you refuse, run, buddy. Run. You almost had him, partner. Come on, give it up for my little partner right there. That's okay. We're happy he's here, right? Hey, if I'm going to stop a service, it's going to be to celebrate him and slap him a high five. Come here, dude. Good night. You embarrassed Usain Bolt. Give me five. Here. I ain't paying you again, so don't do it again. You got to get it out when you get offended. But it says if you refuse to do your part, somebody say my part, watch this. This will blow your mind. You cut yourself off from God's part. It says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. You have a part, and God has a part. If you don't do your part, people are frustrated. They're like, why isn't God moving in my life? I'll tell you why. You're not obeying him. I love you. It's fun up in this operating room today. You cut yourself off from God's part. So let's get into it. I want to give you four fast facts about forgiveness you need to know. Number one, you got to forgive first. Somebody say first. Jesus said, if you bring a gift to the altar, and you remember that somebody has a grudge against you, or you got beef with somebody, he said, before you offer your gift, I want you to go to the person and I want you to be reconciled to them. And the word reconciliation means to move from enemy to a friend. To move from an enemy to a friend. It's my job to make that happen. It's your job to go take steps back towards friendship and overcoming that enemy. You got to get them off your poo-poo list. Jackie, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You got one of them. See, I'm told you. I know. You got that list in your brain. First, be reconciled to your brother. You got to forgive them first. Somebody say first. Secondly, you got to forgive them fast. Somebody say fast. The time to forgive somebody who offends you is the instant they do it. I made up my mind years ago, and this statement kind of helped me. My forgiveness does not depend on your apology. My forgiveness does not depend on your apology. They may never apologize to you. If you wait on their apology, you might be waiting days, months, weeks, years. They may never come back. Well, if you wait, you're retaining that all that time, right? And so it's important that you forgive first and that you forgive fast and that you get it out. Here's why. Because when somebody offends you, it hurts you. Okay? I need to start healing as fast as I can. So I need to get that thing out of my life. Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he looked down at the centurions who crucified him and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He didn't wait on them to apologize. The Bible didn't say they asked for forgiveness. Jesus went on and forgave them anyway. Some of y'all need to go on and forgive that person who's hurt you right now in your mind. I know there's been times in my life for years where I would have to look myself in the mirror every day and say out loud to myself, I forgive them, I love them, I don't hold anything or any grudges against them. Over and over and over. And sometimes, you know, you're not lying, you're prophesying. I don't feel it, but I'll get there. It'll catch up. Amen? Number three, you got to forgive freely. Somebody say freely. The Bible says we've got to forgive others freely. Somebody says to me, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, really? Did you deserve God's forgiveness? Did you earn God's forgiveness? No, that's why they call it grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. He did it for you. And so I don't forgive them. I'll be honest with y'all. I don't forgive other people for them. I'm selfish about forgiveness. I forgive for me. And I forgive for him because he asked me to forgive him. And so I got to move fast. I got to be first, fast, and forgive freely. And that's important for us to grab hold of. And then the fourth fast fact about forgiveness is you got to forgive frequently. Somebody say frequently. Matthew chapter 18, Peter comes to Jesus. He says, hey, Lord, somebody's been stupid and ticking me off. I'm paraphrasing, okay? He said, how many times shall I forgive them if they do something stupid? How about seven times? That sounds pretty good. Seven's the number of perfection. Seven times. Jesus said, Peter, no. I don't say to you seven times, but I say to you 70 times seven. For all you math scholars, that's 490. Now, if you're real religious, you'd be like, great, I can't wait for 491. I'm writing them off. Like, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. Come on, do it again. Let's get to 491. No. He's saying, I want you to keep forgiving them as many times as it takes. Here's what it tells us. It tells us that in relationships, forgiveness is the lubrication required to keep from that thing seizing up. Lubrication is something we need when friction is involved. When two things rub together, it creates friction. Friction produces heat. Well, every day you're in relationship with others, it produces friction. We have conversations. We have contact with them. We send texts to each other. We do business with each other constantly. And the closer you are, the more friction it will produce. Now, let me talk to all the married folk just for a minute here. This is why you've got to understand that forgiveness is essential for you to continue moving forward. The only thing that keeps your motor from locking up in the first 5 minutes you drive it is the oil on the inside. Forgiveness does the same. It makes high mileage possible in relationships. Amen? And so we got to grab hold of that. So we've addressed how to get out of unforgiveness and offense if you're dealing with it. But at Victory Church, I'd rather be proactive than reactive, because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so I want to talk to you right now about some steps you can take to stop the spirit of offense in its track. And let me tell you, the spirit of offense is hunting for you. Now, I don't look for a demon under every rock, and I don't over-spiritualize everything, but the Bible says your fight is not with the person next to you or with your in-laws or with your spouse or with your kids or the idiot you work for. Your fight is with the devil himself and with the evil spirits at work behind the scenes in your life. The spirit of offense is coming for you. And so I'm going to show you some things you can do today. Now, these are not sequential. These are just different weapons that you can use to put an end to this once and for all. And the first one's very simply this. Number one, if you're going to stop the spirit of offense before it starts, you got to, number one, give people the benefit of the doubt. I genuinely believe with all my heart, most people are not walking around trying to tick you off. Isn't that true? Most people aren't. Matter of fact, most people, if they offended you, they don't even realize they did it. Okay? I know in my life, if I've ever offended you, please forgive me. All right? I didn't do it on purpose. It's not my fault. It's Marcia's fault. I'm only saying that because she's not in here. But seriously, people don't walk around intentionally trying to tick you off. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, it says an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. In other words, a walled off city. Because what happens when you get offended? The walls go up. Well, now you got to break through those walls. So it'd be better to just not get offended in the first place. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Because what happens is Satan twists things and he tries to pervert it and he tries to make something out of nothing. And because most of us are so insecure, we all have insecurity on some level. We think everybody's out to get us. Right? We're quick to just think those things. If we see two people talking and they look over at us, what do we think they're talking about? Us. It's like when you text people, if they don't respond to you in 3.5 seconds, you immediately, your whole world is falling apart. Seriously. I mean, I sent a message to somebody a couple weeks ago and they hadn't responded for 3 days, and I finally shot them a text and I said, hey, what's wrong with you? And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just didn't even see it. And I said, oh, I just thought you hated me. Well, I was kidding, but it reveals something that most people have going on the inside of us, on the inside of them. So Satan tries to twist and pervert everything and make you feel like, well, they just don't want me. I'm not good enough. And we get all in our head about this kind of stuff. But give people the benefit of the doubt so that we don't allow those walls to go up and make us a fortified city. Number two, stop assuming the worst. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. We live in a country that glorifies bad news. Come on. You never hear about the plane that did make it. That don't make good news, am I right? Yeah, breaking news at 7:30 tonight. We had a plane make it to Detroit. Nobody cares about that. We only report on plane crashes. We only report on missteps in people's characters. And so we celebrate this evil. We're looking for it. But the Bible says the love of God in us, it thinks no evil, right? It bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the what? Believe the what? The what? The best of every person. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, I believe the best in you. Now look at your neighbor you just rejected and tell them, I believe in you too. But I've learned in my life to stop assuming, right? think there's a little saying that goes with the word assume. Don't assume why people do what they do. Don't assume why people say what they say. Because the reality is, it's rarely ever what we think it is. And that's how the devil starts building sandcastles in our mind. And it's easy to become skeptical and suspicious. And the Bible says in Proverbs 26, 22, that bad news and that info you've heard and that dirt that somebody has given you on somebody else. And when somebody's cast in shade, there's something in your flesh that says those rumors are like dainty little morsels. They're like little snack cakes and we love to eat them up, right? And the Bible says you got to be careful about that because that will get in your heart. And so when I hear bad news about somebody, I'm not going to be quick to celebrate it, and I'm not going to be quick to believe it. I'm going to believe the best in that person. Because the reality is, if it's true, then they're struggling, and they're already down, and they need somebody, LaToya, to believe the best in them. They need somebody to speak the best in them. I don't care what's going on in their life. You got to be like God. You got to step out and see the darkness, but say light in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, somebody give God praise. And I've learned there's two sides to every story, man. When we first started pastoring, I have people come in, and when they come for counseling, it's not because things are good. It ain't testimony session. They start complaining about people. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. They did that. They did that. They did that. And then I hear the other side of the story from the other person. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They lied to me about everything they just said. And for the first 10 years, I was shocked. And now I'm just like, Because I know that the truth is somewhere in the middle. There's two sides to every story. You got to be careful which side you land on. Amen? And we made up our mind at Victory Church, we're never going to choose sides. We're always going to choose souls. So if you have a soul, we're going to be on your side. Amen? It's important that you understand that. Because every life is worth the blood of Jesus. We all do stupid stuff. We just do it at different times. All right, so I can't get after you for being stupid than me at a different time than I was. Number three, I love this one. Communication is the single greatest key to overcoming offense. I believe this with all my heart. Anytime somebody comes to me and starts complaining about a situation, I always take them back to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Actually, for those of you who went through membership class today, it was in there as a requirement for you in handling conflict. If we're going to do life together, I promise you, I'm going to tick you off. If we're going to do life together, I promise you, you're going to tick me off. When that day comes, let's just talk to each other, all right? Because the Bible says, if a believer sins against you. See, a lot of times, some of the meanest people I've ever met are not the people in the world, it's the people in the church. Uh-oh. If another believer sins against you, go privately. Don't put it on Facebook. Go privately and point out the what? Offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you won that person back. Go to that person. So people come to me and they say, well, this person did that, this and that and the other to me. What are you going to do about it? Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you do what Jesus told you? Have y'all talked about it privately yet? Why don't you go start there? And you'd be amazed what communication does. Actually, Marsh and I have a relationship where every so many weeks, and we don't set it on the calendar or anything like that because that'd be just super weird and OCD, but we have a conversation with each other that goes something like this. Is there anything I'm doing that is annoying you or ticking you off or creating frustration on the inside of you? And we don't do it at an emotional high, and we don't do it at an emotional low. Typically, we're doing it when we're on a date or having a really good time together. Great way to ruin it, right? But the reality is, if there's something I'm doing that's stupid or that's ticking her off, I want to know about it. Here's what I've found out. Most people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know where they're wrong. I do want to know. And I want to know as fast as I can. Here's how. Because only then can I overcome that thing and stop being a blockage. I never want to intentionally put a roadblock in somebody else's path to them achieving everything God created them and called them to be. We don't want to be unintentional enemies of other people. Amen? And sometimes that happens because I realize confrontation can be difficult. It's hard. It makes our anxiety meter go through the roof. It's difficult to do, but it is the price of living a great life. If not, not, Satan keeps us bouncing from person to person, job to job, spouse to spouse, church to church, relationship to relationship. And when that happens, we're never going to be and live the life that God intended for us to have and live, Tyler. And it's because if your relationships are jacked up, your life is going to be too. And so we got to get to that place where we're willing to have that confrontation. You got to understand that conflict is not in itself a negative thing. Conflict brings something up we needed to know about. It's how we handle that conflict, and communication gives us the ability to get to the root of it so that we can overcome that thing. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, in all you're getting, get understanding. The only way to overcome a misunderstanding is to get understanding. Mikey, I want to know what's going on. I want to know why you're at where you're at. I want to know why you feel the way you feel. I want to know what's upsetting you. And so now when somebody comes to me and they're upset, rather than looking at that person and being like, you know, lashing out back at them, I'm like, okay, wait, something's clearly upset you. What is it? Talk to me about it. Tell me. I'd rather somebody come cuss me out to my face and tell me what's wrong with me than let it go underground in their life and then they just disappear. It's one of the hardest things about my job. I realize I'm about two clicks below your dentist. I'm serious. Do life with people for 10, 12 years. They just walk out the door and never say a word. Breaks my heart. But you know what? We bless them when they come. We bless them when they go. It's why we're not a cult. You can leave anytime you want. Hello? Come on, give God praise. If you got to be released, you're in a cult. You don't need to be released to Victory Church. God already set you free. But it's important that you grab hold of it. Then the fourth thing you can do to stop the spirit of offense before it starts is you can turn your sensitivity down. Now, I grew up in the 90s. Any millennium and 90s babies in here, right? You went to high school in the 90s. Some of you here, y'all are not. Okay, there's a few more. Okay, graduated high school in the 90s. Oh, hands popping up. It's like popcorn going off at the end. Pop, 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 pop. Told you right there. But here's the deal. Car alarms were huge. And Vipers, man, if you had a Viper car alarm, oh, it was a ticket. And you walk up on it, you could set the sensitivity on it, Mike, and you would hear it sometimes. If you got too close, it would say, Viper alarm. Please back away from the car now. And the little old lady, you know, that just went to the grocery store to get some eggs and milk is having a heart attack. She don't know what's going on. But you could turn the sensitivity up, and you could turn it way, way, way up. And so if I'm from here to Chris sitting over there, that thing would be going off if I had it cranked way up. Or I could turn it way, way, way down, and you get right up on it. You can slap it, and it won't go off. Well, you know, there's a lot of people like that. Some people are super easy to set off. Y'all know anybody like that? Don't look at the person on your row. Seriously, you know, you got some of them in your family. Some of you married to one, right? No, I'm for real. But here's the deal you got to understand. They got their sensitivity turned up. Turn your sensitivity down. My goodness. And here's what I understand. It's like being sunburned. You know, I love going to the beach this time of year. I absolutely love it. When I go to heaven, God's going to put me on the sunny side of it. I need some more vitamin D in my diet. Come on, y'all. It's like 50 degrees and I'm out there protesting in a tank top. But here's the reality, man. When you get a sunburn and it's not that bad, somebody can come up and slap you on the back and it's okay. But when you get that second degree sunburn where you're like blistering and you're in major trouble. But anyway, the worst somebody's burned, man, you barely touch them and they'll freak out on you. They're going to take you, take your head off, right? You know why? Because they're hurting. And here's what I know about people who are hurting. The more pain you're in, the more selfish you become. So if you got somebody in your life and it don't take much to set them off, they're hurting bad. So what if we soften the way we approach them? What if we stop making it about us? Because it's not about us. It's about them. They're hurt. Maybe if you're that person here today and the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and identifying that in you, and you know that you're too easily set off and you don't want to be that way. It's not that you're trying to be that way. It's just that you're overwhelmed and you got so much going on and you're in so much pain and you just really can't handle that much. Then I want you to know today that God wants to heal you this morning, because what he reveals, he's willing to heal, and it's a good day for you. And we got to turn that sensitivity down and look up to God and say, God, come in and heal my heart. Come on, somebody, would you give God praise that the truth is setting people free? Number five this morning, to defeat the spirit of offense, I like this weapon. You're not your idea. You're not your idea. I watch this one all the time. People feel like they have a great idea, and they go to work and they tell it to their boss and they get shot down. Or they tell it to their spouse and they get shot down. Or you tell it to your ministry head here at the church and you feel like you got shot down. I want to say to you right now, this might be the most liberating thing some of you are going to hear today. You got to understand that you are not your idea. You have to separate yourself from that and understand that just because they said no to you, to your idea, doesn't mean they said no to you. It doesn't mean they said, we don't want to do life with you. The reality is sometimes there's a whole lot more going on than what we even know about. All we have a very silo mentality. All we know is what's in front of us. But they might see something you don't. Maybe it's yes, maybe it's no, maybe it's sometime in the future. But whether you have a good idea that gets used or not, that's not what matters. The mission is what matters. The mission in your family, the mission on your job, the mission of the church. And so don't get married to an idea. Get married to the mission, amen? Get married to the vision, because there's always a place for people who are married to those things. And it's easy for me to not be offended. If they use my idea, great. If they don't use my idea, great. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to let the devil off-end me and separate me from the plan and purpose and the people God wants me to do life with. Come on, somebody. Would you give God praise this morning? How about not feeling appreciated? Not feeling appreciated. This is a big one. So many times I watch people and they serve and they do things for others. And if you don't feel appreciated, then all of a sudden there's this resentment that starts growing on the inside. Nobody cares. Nobody sees what I do. Nobody appreciates me. I think this goes on in a lot of homes. And so all of a sudden there's this attitude that you owe me. You owe me something. And you've got to realize this morning that God sees everything you do. And God knows every time you've served. The Bible actually says that when you work, you're not working for man, you're working for God in Ephesians. I love this verse. It says, work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do. Who is your rewarder? God. Who is your rewarder? So if you work for man, you look for a reward from man. And then you're disappointed when man doesn't reward you. But if I work for God, and I know that He alone can reward me for the things I do, and He will, then all of a sudden there's a sense of satisfaction. What if you got up tomorrow morning and you went to work, not for what you could get, but for what you could give? What if you got up tomorrow morning and you went to work not caring who you were working for on earth, but focused on who you're working for in heaven? Wouldn't it change our attitude? Wouldn't it change our actions? Wouldn't it change the way we do things? Wouldn't those around us at work look at us and see Jesus on the inside of us and say, my God, they got something in them that I need in my life. The boss don't even recognize them and they're still giving their best instead of acting like he owes me, right? That's what everybody else in the office is doing. That's what everybody else in the relationships are doing. That's what everybody else in your family's doing. What if even in your marriage, if you're here today and you're struggling in your marriage, maybe your spouse isn't even here. Instead of feeling resentful and feeling like they owe you and how much they've offended you because of everything you've done and they've never taken time to celebrate or appreciate you, what if you got your eyes on Jesus today and understood that He said, if you even give Him a cup of cold water in my name, I'm going to bless you. If you take Him a glass of tea in my name, even though He's an idiot, I'm going to bless you. If you wash His socks, I'm going to bless you. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about living for Him and not living for them and getting your eyes off of the people who offend you and onto the one who saved you. Because the reality is your sins were offensive to God. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to take those offenses out of the way. Let me give you the final point this morning as we close. And it's very simply this. You got to break free from OPA. You got to break free from other people's approval. We're all way too addicted to other people's approval. I'm living for an audience of one, y'all. There's only one opinion that matters. I got free a long time ago from other people. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy to stand in front of y'all every single week and to know that people will think what they're going to think. I don't think to myself, I wonder who's going to be there and will I say this or will I say that? All I know is, Jesus, I got to get with you. I want to hear from you because I want to say say to them what you've said to me. I want to teach them what you've already taught me. I don't care what they think. I love them, God, but I'm chasing you, and I pray for the ones who can come with us. Come on, we're a church for anybody, but not for everybody. It just takes some longer than others to figure it out. We love you and we want you, but we're here to please God. And sometimes that might come across rough. That's because we're living for eternity, y'all. This thing matters. Amen? Your life matters. And we don't want you to waste it. And what we do is we put our life out there on display for everybody else to comment on. And we get offended when they don't say anything. We get offended when they say the wrong thing. We get offended when not enough people that we put our life online to show, they don't respond to it. Can I tell you right now, it's not their fault. Don't be offended at them. It's your fault. Amen? Get free from that. We don't need their approval. Not everybody approved of Jesus. He lived perfect. They didn't all love him. They're not all going to love you. But God loves you. And I love you. And I bet you there's a bunch of other people in here that love you today. Come on, somebody say everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
Would y'all get on your feet this morning and give Jesus a big ovation? I want to go back to what Zoe said. Perfect love casts out fear. I don't need to live in fear of man because I fear God. You know, getting older is not too fun. I'm serious. And I turned 40 in November and some weird stuff started happening. Kid you not. Some of y'all are laughing because you're like, just wait on 50. I kid you not. Weird stuff. Stuff I always heard old people deal with. I've never thought I'd have to deal with it. Let me tell y'all, I went to Walmart on Friday and I bought me some corn removing pads. I'm like, what is this? I was embarrassed to even tell Marcia. Like, I got to tell you something. I'm embarrassed of this. I don't even know what's going on. It feels like my left pinky toe is in a vice grip right now. Thing hurts like crazy. Like, what did this come from? What did I do to deserve this corn? God, where are you? But you know what? Life goes by, and all of a sudden, you start feeling some pain. And you realize there's some stuff growing there that shouldn't be growing there. And the Holy Spirit sent me this morning to tell you, it's time for you to remove the offense in your life because you got bigger things to focus on. God's got something better for y'all today. I know it hurts you. I'm not taking away from that, but I just come to tell you, get your eyes off of them and get your eyes onto him because we got bigger fish to fry, y'all. God has amazing things in store for you. Yeah. I don't care what they did to you. You just think on what Jesus has done for you. Come on, somebody. That's good news today. Let Jesus heal you from the pain. Let him cut that thing off. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I know there are some of you here this morning that have been carrying some really heavy offenses. And I want to pray for you today. Whether you got offended today or whether you've been offended in the last 20 or 30 years of your life and it's just been festering under the surface, you got to know right now that God loves you. And he brought this up today because he wants to heal it on the inside of you. And today's your day to lay it down and let it go. It might have been a divorce. It might have been abuse. You might have been sexually abused. I don't know what it is today. You fill in the gap. God knows exactly. And I don't care how big it is or how small it is. Right now, his Spirit is here to heal you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray right now. And I bind the spirit of offense and I rebuke it and I cast it out of the heart and life of every single person here today. I pray for complete and total deliverance and freedom from offense, no matter how big or how small. Father, right now, I pray that the walls come down. As a matter of fact, as we've heard your truth today, I thank you that like a sledgehammer, it has brought those walls down and opened up this moment. Holy Spirit, flood every heart. Bring your healing power, God. I think about what you did in first service in that family whose child had been abused by a loved one. God, there's somebody else here today that's dealing with a similar situation. I pray, God, even though it seems impossible right now, do what only you can do. I pray that you would heal their heart. I pray that they would be able to release that. I pray that they would be able to let it go. No matter what the price tag was that it came with, no matter what it cost them, God, today, I pray for a release in the name of Jesus right now in the authority of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, for your power filling them to release that thing, to lay it at the foot of the cross. God, I pray that in its place, in the place of pain, you release your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, God, for purpose in their life. Get their eyes back onto the reason why you created them. I thank you, God, today they will see your love for them. They will experience what it's like to be embraced by your loving arms that are so warm. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that every broken area be made completely whole. God, that there would be nothing missing and nothing broken. And most of all, I pray for a restoration of joy. I pray that if they have to do life with those people, for those who are stuck with them, I pray that they would be able to be their best. I pray that they would be able to treat them as if there was no history. I pray that your joy would be their strength. I pray that they would be able to serve. I pray that they would be able to give you everything on the inside of them today, God, that there would just be that sweet surrender and release of your peace. Father, we thank you and we give you praise now that it is done in Jesus' name, that we are not bound, that we are not afflicted, that this is a brand new day. We believe you and take you at your word. We ask and we receive. And God, we thank you now. We declare, Jesus, you are Lord over those relationships, over every heart, over every mind, over every spirit and every soul. We give you thanks and praise right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, come on, would you give God praise that it's done, it's finished, and I can move forward unharmed. Minister Wild.
If you're ever in northeastern Pennsylvania, we'd love to meet you in person. Come experience Victory Live. Victory Church is located at 645 East Main Street in Troy, Pennsylvania. You can choose a service time that's best for your needs. Sunday services are at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or join us for our midweek service and all children and student ministries every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more info, check us out on the web at voiceofvictory.com or get the Victory Now app for your mobile device. It's free and it's available today in your app store. If you were blessed by today's message, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 302, Troy, PA 16947. Until next time, remember, there's victory in Jesus.